Sarah is coming to us live from Appleton, Wisconsin, and of course, I'm in Joby, Florida, so there you go. We have got a couple of case studies that I've pulled up to go through today, and Sarah will be turning the screen over to me in just a minute, and then we've got some announcements at the end of the call that we'll go over. And let's see.
All right, you should have it.
Yeah, and I am looking here. Yep, okay, I'm going to show my screen. All right, and so if you guys have got questions, remember this call is only relevant if you've got a question and you ask that question. So I'm going to go over a couple of deals here that we're going to break them up and kind of beat them up. And one is a single family in Indianapolis, and the other is a multifamily in California. So if we, let's see, we'll just go ahead and move on and go from there. Let's see. So we've got, and I'm going to go back and forth with you on this, Sarah, kind of as we do this, if anybody has a question. Okay. So this is a single family home on Chrysanthemum Street in Indianapolis. Current value, BPO, is $136,000. This property would rent for about $1,250 a month. Of course, it's single family and so on. So the pay history on this and the buyer's credit is 605, which isn't horrible. And we have got a credit score of 605, and then they've been a couple of times past due over the course of the 36 months that they've been making payments. So that's what that looks like. The house sold August of 2013, and it sold for $135,000 with $10,000 down, and then so the amount financed was $125,000. So based on that, Sarah, I mean, I wouldn't think that the credit score is not going to be so relevant on this, because it has some pretty decent seasoning. It's got 3 years of seasoning and a couple of times per the pay history being 30 days late really is probably not a big deal in the scheme of things. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I just, you know, people ask me, so Joe, what do you think, what do you consider on time with a seller finance note? And my answer is always the same. It's if they make the payment before the next one is due, even if it's due on the 1st and we get it on the 30th, I consider that an on-time payment, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way it is. So the payment on this, PI, is $831.63. The interest rate is 7%. First due was September 1st of 2013, so they've made 36 payments. There's 324 remaining. Next payment due is September 1st, and current loan balance is $120,744. So if we kind of break this down as to the six things that are important for when we're looking at buying a performing note, if we look at the borrower's okay. Like I said, a couple of times 30 days late on the pay history, but not a big deal. The house is in a nice neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I think I just kind of pulled the Zillow up for you guys just to kind of see. And the BPO reflected the value of the house right now at about $136,273. There's your rental estimate. Now, one thing here is it's interesting is that rental estimate, according to Zillow, has came down about $56 in the last 30 days. But you know, again, that's only if we had to take that back would we be concerned with something like that. So let's see. The property is good. The area is good. So if we're looking at things that we could pick apart on this that's going to affect the value, what do you think about the interest rate, Sarah?
For my taste, it's a little low. I don't know if that's being picky, but...
Well, and you know, that... Really, I mean, we would like to see it up around, 8 or 9. And that would, of course, made the note a little more valuable at the end of the day. And obviously, this was originated prior to January 10th of 2014. So we're not, we don't have a concern about this being originated to SAFAC standards. And the only other thing that would have made a difference on this would have been possibly if they could have done a 240-month AM or a 300-month AM, so a 20 to 25-year AM, and instead of going with the 360-month AM. Don't know why sellers doing seller financing automatically think they're as wealthy as Bank of America and Wells Fargo and can stretch it out for 30 years, but hey, that's what it is. So let's look at it based on what it is, and then we're going to go back and look at it based on if there would have been a balloon in this and how would that affect the value of this. So there's the pertinent information, estimated value, selling price, principal, interest, payments, so on, and there's your unpaid balance. So if we go in and we look at this based on buying the entire note, the haircut on this, even at just a 12% return, is pretty substantial. What is it, Sarah? About $40,000, right?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, and so we've got to go back and say, okay, that's pretty steep, but why is it steep? Well, the interest rate in the long term. So I would have to say, Sarah, that there are probably some note school students out there, maybe not note school students, I would hope, but there are some other folks out there that may not be as trained and as in touch as or in tune with reality as note school students, mm-hmm. that when they saw a price like that, they would most likely not even call the borrower or the note seller back. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
They're like, yeah. Oh my God, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call. That person's going to yell at me. They're going to scream at me, whatever it is. So I'm not even going to call them back. So obviously when we're working on a deal like this, I mean, the quote is what the quote is or the price is. And even if of course, our folks have gotten spoiled as well, and they're thinking a 12% return just isn't good enough either. So if we bump it to a 13, then we've got, it changes a little bit more, right? So let's see, what was it, 12.79, we go to 13, and it's 75. So it's a little bit less than what it was before. So here's what I would do if I were pricing this loan to the note seller, is of course we'd have to go in and talk about how the pie was baked and yada yada yada, but when we price this, or the way that I would price it to the seller, would simply be kind of go through the process. So what we have here is we've got you received $10,000 as a down payment. You then have received 36 payments of, what was the payment on this? $31.68. So we would go in, and that would lessen the blow on this just a bit. So if we've got 36 times 831 is going to be another 29 and change. Let's just call it 30,000 plus the 10, so 40. So basically they're not selling it at a discount, because most of what they've received is going to have been interest anyway, out of that $30,000 in payments they've received over the course of the loan. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we could go in and we could start pricing partial, so we could change the partial quote here. Certainly, I would go up on the return on that if we were doing that. So, obviously, we could buy a partial of $35,740. We could buy a 90-payment partial, and we can go through the process by doing that. So, obviously, if I were pricing this, or when I am pricing something like this or talking to the seller, I'm going to give them the full, and it is what it is, but I am going to go through and go through that process of how do you present that price to the note owner. Down payment, payments received, here's what we're paying you. And then I would always present at least two partials as well. Maybe a 60-month partial, a 90-month partial, and you may want to go in and do a 120-month partial as well and explain to them how that partial works and so on. Now, I would say possibility of this note refinancing over the next, 2 to 3 years, Sarah, is probably pretty high.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of it going full term is going to be highly unlikely, and obviously the full purchase is going to be huge for us if we do that because of the unearned discount, or the earned discount on this loan as well. So what I wanted to do also is kind of take this and say, okay, so this is what it looks like there, but let's go in. Do we have any questions on this so far, Sarah?
No, not yet.
No. Okay, very good. So if we wanted to change things around just a bit, we could say, okay, what if the seller would have put a 5-year balloon in that, and obviously it was originated prior to SAFAC, Dodd-Frank, so we could have put a balloon in that. And let's say there's a 60-month balloon in it, and the balloon amount is $117,000. So if we go in and we change up our numbers just a little bit. And
can you explain that a little bit, Joe, why the balloon makes such a difference?
117, put that in. Okay, so what we're doing here is we are the seller. Seller slash note owner would amortize the loan for 30 years, so the payments would be set up as the borrower is paying this off over a 30-year period. Mm-hmm. But we would put, or the seller could have put, a balloon in the loan, meaning that it's amortized, this 831 is the payment for 30 years, but at the end of 5 years, at the end of the 60-month term, then the entire balance of the loan would need to be paid off either by the borrower refinancing this property to pay off the note seller or note slash owner slash seller, and or selling it to pay off the loan. But again, amortizing it long term to keep the payment down, but then at the end of the 5-year period, ballooning the loan so that the seller knows that his or her outcome or time in this deal is only going to be 5 years. So the borrower has to go out and refinance this in order to pay the note owner, note seller off at the end of that 5-year period. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, I understand balloons, but I was just wondering why having a balloon makes such a difference on the value of the note.
When we look at, assuming that this wouldn't pay off, I think there's a pretty high possibility or probability that this would refinance or be sold, or, you know, the seller would move out and move, or the property owner would move out, move on. But we would have a certainty as an end date on this, saying, okay, I'm willing to amortize it for 30, but I'm only willing to hang myself out there for 5 years. And so for the note seller, instead of having 324 payments remaining, in this case, there would only be 24 payments remaining until the balloon. So it's going to make a considerable difference in the pay price on this particular loan. But let me caution a couple of things when adding balloons. Now, you know, right now there's conflicting information as far as originating a loan for a consumer or a homeowner right now that says, yeah, we can put a balloon in there. No, we can't. So it really depends on who you're talking to. But I'm not seeing a huge problem, and I have done a few with balloons in them when I know there's a pretty high chance of them being able to refinance it. But if we're talking about selling a $45,000 house, low price band house, using seller financing, and the borrower has a 560 credit score, putting a balloon in that loan is totally useless. They are not going to be able to A, refinance it because of the market conditions, and B, they're not going to refinance it most likely because of their credit score. So with this credit score, I'd feel pretty confident that they could do it. So let's look at the difference that this makes when we go out. So we're buying the 24 remaining payments, and if we were just to buy the 24 remaining payments of $831, that's what it would look like. It would look like about $17,000 would be our pay price on that, based on a 14% yield. But here's the other way that we buy when there's a balloon. So we could buy none of the balloon, and guys, if we wanted to buy this and not be concerned about the property owner, the borrower, being able to refinance this, we would certainly only buy the payments, okay? And I'd jack the yield up on that to probably 18, and it's not going to make that big of a difference because the remaining term is very short. You can see that it changed it from 16.6 if we were at 14. It's going to give $700 more in the pay price. So I would jack the return way up there on that. We could even go 20 and it would still be fine. It'd be 16.3. But now what we can do, if we feel like that there's a pretty high chance that the borrower is going to be able to refi it, let's go in and add a couple of twists to it here. So here's what we could do. And we'll take this yield down, or this percentage down, and let's jack it down to about 14%. So we could go in, and I could tell our note seller, Sarah, say, look, it balloons in 24 months. I know you need money now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you $61,000. I go over. Oh, sorry. I'll pay you $61,000, and what I'm going to receive is the remaining 24 payments, and then the balloon amount when it balloons is about $117,000. So I'm going to get $58,500 of the balloon, and you're going to get an additional $58,500 as well. So what we're doing, Sarah, is we're dividing the balloon up. So I'm keeping the note seller in it. It's basically a partial. And so I'm going to buy the payments until the balloon, and then when the borrower refinances it to pay it off, the payoff is going to be about $117,000. So I'm going to get half of that, and the seller's going to get half of that as well. So if we look and say, okay, we paid them $61,000 now, they're getting another $58,500 in 24 months, plus they received their $10,000 down payment. That gets them back up there to where they are, so where they were to begin with. Now, what if we bought the income stream and all of the balloon? So we bought 100% of the balloon, or even 1,000. that's going to put us up there. Remember, the balance is $117,000. Mm-hmm. And so the pay price goes from, what was it, $70,000 at a 14% return, mm-hmm, to $105,000 as a price based on this having the balloon in it. Now you can see that our ITV, our investment to value, goes up, with the value being what, 136 currently, and we're paying $105,000. So you would have to make, as a note owner or a note buyer, you would need to make the decision if you wanted to go that high of an ITV. You could always adjust the return, and that's going to bring, as we adjust the return, even if we went to an 18% return. I know, Sarah, that Dave Fernacki is salivating over this thing right now, seeing return. But all we do is we jack the return up until we get down. If you're more comfortable at 75, or if you're more comfortable at 70%, as far as the investment to value, then we can continue to pay with this, or raise the rate of return up until we adjust this down. So I know that most of the guys out there are pretty new on the call today, and I know that, you know, this probably hasn't came up, or we haven't talked about a case study that does have a balloon in it like this. So let's see if we have any. Yeah, look at that. We got a bunch of questions now. Oh, yeah. So let's see. What does Fred say? Does the partial buy agreement give us any participation in the early payoff premium? So, Fred, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have the entitlement schedule that you would normally have. So whatever the entitlement schedule would be, and you're looking, so if it paid off in 12 months, so you would look at the entitlement schedule, see what the current balance would be, and then that would still give us the participation if we did the, if we bought half the balloon. I mean, we could tear this up and buy 40% of the balloon, 50, 60, 70, 80. So we could do this many different ways. Now, the other part of that is, what if, and basically the letter would go out from your servicer 6 months prior to this, well, in 18 months, and the letter would say, dear Mr. Homeowner, Mrs. Homeowner, your loan is set to balloon in 6 months. So what you need to do is you need to go out and you need to find yourself a lender in order to refinance this loan. So you obviously would send that out, letting them know that the balloon is there, telling them early to go out and to start looking at for a lender to refinance their loan. Now, what happens if they don't pay it? What happens if they can't come up with it? Well, we could force the issue, and we really could. They would be in default, and we could foreclose on them based on most likely, or what I would most likely do is I would give them, if they are in good faith and can prove to me that they are out attempting to refinance this, I may give them a 30 to a 90 day extension. If they truly are, can prove they're out trying to refinance this house. So I'm not going to automatically extend this and take the balloon out. I'm going to continue to keep the pressure on them to make that happen. So Brooks says, if you think the chance of refi is high, wouldn't a 360 AM be a good thing? Oh, yeah. So Brooks, yeah, absolutely. If you think that the chance of them refining is pretty high, is really high, I would always go with the longest term, because you realize that when you've got an amortized loan, for the first 5 years, the borrower is only paying about 4% of what they're paying on a monthly basis is going to come off the principal amount. So it's, you want to go as long as possible, 360 months. And then balloon it in 5 years or so. So the initial payments, you're right, 96% of those, Brooks, is going to be interest. So Dave, why was the balloon not discounted on the 50% purchase? We'll pull that up in just a second. Do you understand your variable on the balloon partial? That was Dave. Let me answer these others, and we'll come back and we'll get Dave on the phone.
Hey, Joe, real quick. I think Brooks was referring to back when you were talking about the seller finance loan, and you said you didn't know why seller financers offer 360-month terms.
Mm-hmm.
I think
let's unmute Brooks and get him on the phone here.
All right. One second. Let me find him. That was my interpretation, at least. Brooks, you can explain for yourself. You're unmuted.
Hey man, how you doing?
Hey Joe, I'm doing all right.
I'm just thinking about having some more of those that shrimp and grits we had last Thursday night.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was very good. We were in Raleigh-Durham last week, and Brooks and Tim and I went out and had some dinner after a presentation. So what was the question, Brooks?
Yeah, you guys got it. It was when you said the comment about the seller finance and that 360 just seemed very long to create a note at that number of payments. But I've done that, and that was because I did think that they were going to refi within the first 5 years or so. But I didn't put a balloon in because of Dodd-Frank.
Right.
I just let it roll, and nobody's refinanced yet. But my take on it was that I'm gonna get mostly interest for those first few years anyway, and
Right.
if I even if they don't refi, maybe I'll sell a partial on it or something like that, and I think that the 360 probably was gonna work out good. But it just sounded like you had a different take on it, where the 360 was kind of long.
Well, if you look at Eddie's six factors as to what affects the value of a performing loan, one is going to be length of term, and the other is going to be the interest rate on the loan. Now, if you're not looking for it if you're looking at the long term, then it's okay. But if you were looking to create something that you knew that you wanted to sell all of it, 360 is pretty long, but if you're creating something that you want to sell a partial on, then it's better to go with the longer term.
Right. I got
So,
you.
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, so Stephen has a question. Are you using Streetwise Power Quoter? Stephen, just shoot me an email, joe@noteschool.com, and I'll send what I'm using here to you. Ralph Marshall created this, and I just kind of use it. I'm kind of old school, so this is a little easier for me to use, but I'd be happy to send it to you. Just send me an email, and I'll send you that deal. Fritz says, not a balloon, but an early payoff question about partial buy agreement. Let's get Fred on the phone as well,
All
here, and let's talk through this with him.
right. Okay, Fred, you're unmuted.
Hi guys, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. How you doing, man?
Good. My question, as you were going through this, you talked about the early payoff premium, and it's obvious how that benefits the original seller of the note. But my question is really about the partial buy agreement, which I haven't really looked at very much. I've used the partial sell agreement when we sold partials, but I'm just wondering if the note pays off early, if we bought a partial, do we have any participation in that early
Oh,
payoff?
absolutely. Fred, you still have the entitlement schedule, but instead of it being ammed out for 360 months, it's ammed out for the entitlement is it goes up to the balloon, and here's the payoff, and then we would be so we're in ti if we only bought 24 if there's only 24 months left, and we only bought the 24 months and none of the balloon, then obviously we wouldn't have any participation in the
Yeah,
balloon.
I'm not
But if we
talking about a balloon. I'm talking about a note without a balloon that pays off early. It does the
Without
partial buy agreement give us any participation in that early
Oh,
payoff?
absolutely. But no, it's we're if we've sold or bought a partial on a 360-month AM, so yeah, our amortized or whatever the entitlement agreement shows that our balance would be, yeah, that would we would be entitled to whatever. For instance, if we've bought 60 payments and 30 payments into it, the borrower refinances and pays it off. So we would still have whatever the entitlement schedule says based on our rate of return that we've bought. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I was just hoping that maybe the entitlement schedule for the buy agreement was a little bit shaded in our
Oh,
favor.
you're talking. Well, to be fair, it's fair for both sides. So what it says is, yes, we are entitled to what you're entitled to, and we're entitled to what we're entitled to. So there's, it really wouldn't be, we wouldn't be able to, based on the agreement that Note School has, you wouldn't be able to overshare on your side.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Let's get Dave on and try to answer Dave's question as well.
All righty. Let's see here. Okay, Dave, you're unmuted.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Doing good. You got me confused.
Okay.
When I understand buying a partial, no big deal, but I was under the impression, okay, and then you buy the half of the balloon. Right. So really, you're giving them half the money for half the value. Wouldn't you discount that half? Because I didn't even see any real discount in that you were doing.
Well, what you're doing is, if you looked at your, it's still going to be, you're basing it on your rate of return. So the period of time is so short that you're buying on. For instance, if I change this to 50% of the partial, that goes down there. So we're still getting our return based on this particular funding price, the 58,871.
Okay.
So this is a little plan. Right. So we're still getting this rate of return no matter what it is.
Okay, I understand now. Okay, so if you buy the full, meaning you buy the 20, well, you buy the whole thing, the 24 months plus the partial, I mean plus the balloon.
So we're getting, so what we're doing is we're paying at an 18% return, we're paying $98,504, and we're actually receiving $117,000 plus the 24 payments of $831. So whatever that ended up being, if you multiply the 24 times $831, you're at $20,000 there, $19,944. So your actual, what you're getting, your return over 24 months, or the money you're getting back in, is $137,000 for your $98,000 funding price.
All right, I get it. It's all inclusive. Okay, I understand. Yeah. That makes sense. I get it. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, any other questions on that, Sarah? And if not, we'll...
There was two from Michael. Did you see those?
No. Let's see. Let's go back. I'm sorry. I didn't, let's see. Michael says, what is the overall return on investment with this type of purchase, the balloon payment plus cash flow purchase? So it's still going to be, let's see, I just calculated that it's about 40% overall return on investment. Yeah, that's about right, Michael, because if you're looking at return on investment, you're getting about $137 for the $98,000 investment. That make sense?
He said exactly.
All right. Let me go on. All right, so let's then go leave this one, and let's go to a different one here, and this is a little bit different twist here.
Now, are these actual deals that you have, or are these for sale?
Deals that I've been working on that, you know, people have sent me, and I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at pricing as well.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, so here's, we have a commercial deal, and this is a little bit different because most of the time we don't talk about commercial, and this is it's a small commercial deal. So we've got a property in Fallbrook, California. As of the closing date on this, which was 2 years ago, the borrower's credit score was 694. Crime stats with personal crime and property crimes is about a 5, so it's pretty good. It didn't have to be originated to SAFAC standards because it was it's a commercial loan, and so this is 7 small rentals. It's actually 7 1-1 units that is in the area. So it sold on July of 2014. Sold for $490 with $125,000 down. So the amount is, amount finance is 365. Now look at that interest rate, Sarah. 3.5.
Ooh, ouch.
So yeah, that's and again, why did he have to do that in order to make that work? I'm sure that he didn't. I haven't had a chance to ask about it, but yeah, that's a pretty low rate. But again, the only savior on this is going to be obviously the original term was only 84 months, was only 7 years, so that's kind of what's saving him. So the monthly payment on this, sorry about that, is $49.05. First payment was due September of 14. They've made 24 payments, and basically there is there's 50 payments, 60 payments remaining. That's right. Okay, next payment due September, and $269 on the unpaid balance. So Sarah, since this is a little bit different, and we're dealing with a commercial property, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Quoting on this, what are some of the other things that that you would look at making sure that the borrower can make these payments? Obviously, it's being serviced by a third party, but not a national servicing company. It's being serviced by a local title company there, so it's not a national server, but it is a verifiable source, and the borrower has been making payments on time. But we would want to also, we'd want to look at what the income was on this property and what the expenses are as well, right?
Yeah, and I would like to see, you know, the stability of the rents too. I mean, are they constantly turning over tenants? Do they have long-term tenants?
Absolutely, because that's a considerable monthly payment.
Yeah.
Now, these places rent, and remember, it's not San Diego, and it's not Orange County. These places rent for about $850 each. They're seven. They're 1-1 efficiencies. So, you know, when I look at something like this, and I'm talking to a note seller, and I ask them, I say, okay, so this all looks well and good, but I need to know the numbers on this. And the first thing your note seller is going to tell you, well, I don't know what the guy's numbers are. He's been paying me, and you know, I don't know what his taxes are, and I don't know what his insurance is, and I don't know what what the rent rolls are. I know that they rent for $850 a month, and so you get that whole litany of I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you're going to price something like this for the seller, obviously, now, you know, the place, is it worth $490,000? I'm sure that it probably is, but if we look at the current balance, I mean, there's a pretty good, you know, if it's 490, then there's, you know, the ITV on this is just a little over 50, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. So the monthly payment is $49.05. The taxes run about $516 a month, and the insurance runs about $292 a month. So the $59.50 in gross rents, the 7 times the $850. Sounds like a lot of money, but then when you deduct just the taxes and the insurance, we're down to $51.42, and that does not consider any maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't go into a vacancy factor at all, and it doesn't go into if you're going to hire a property manager as well, which they would want another, 10% on this based on the monthly rent. So that's another $600 a month. So all of those would be considered when we're looking at this, and that's kind of a big deal. And so the question would be, so how do we price this based on that? And so let's kind of turn over here to this quoter, and let's see what that looks like as we go through it. So let's go through and let's put some data in here. And let's just say the value is $500,000. not 50, but 500.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it one more time. Okay. All right. So based on the numbers, you know, we would have to say, wow, this guy's probably having to kick at least $500 out of his pocket every month. But, you know, if we're looking at the long term and he's going to have a cash flow of $5,950 or $6,000 when this thing pays off in 5 years, well, that's, you know, we start talking about 50-50 model situations here, and then that's a whole nother deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the payoff there. So, and we do have, and the borrower has not missed a payment. So, all right, so 365 was the amount financed, 365,000, and we're at 3.5%. And we're at 84 months. What was the payment? 4905. Number of payments made have been 24. And remaining is 60. Sorry, guys. It is really, we're having a crazy thunderstorm here right now.
Oh, nice. I love thunderstorms.
Well, we've got kind of a blow coming in, you know, from this deal, 269, that's coming through this weekend. And of course, I'm going to be in San Diego, and the wife say, why are you always gone when these things happen? Oh, I say, well, honey, that's just kind of the deal, right? Okay, so no balloon, so doesn't need a balloon. So let's go over and let's look at the quote based on this. So if we were to buy the entire deal, the entire note here, now that's a pretty high return. Let's jack it down to about 14. So the discount is based on that, buying the entire note. What did we say the balance was? 269, so we're, what, it's $60,000 as far as a discount on that. So, again, the 3.5% did not hurt the price because, as much as it would, now if it would have been a higher rate of return, then obviously, or a higher interest rate, the discount wouldn't have been as great. But most likely, what I'll do on something like this is I would go in and I would buy 20%, or I'd buy 24 months, and I would jack the rate of return up to about 15, and then that would give us a pay price. So I'd probably offer about $100,000 for the next 24 months, and then if the borrower is continuing to pay, I would probably go in 12 to 16 months and offer to buy the rest of it, but I would only be in this at about $100,000 and do a 24-month partial as we go through this. So, do we have some questions on that?
Looks like Dave had a question related to the last one.
Here to stay for ITV. Yeah, that's right. He said just if you need a Safer ITV, then you just reduce the price, and that's exactly right, and that's what we're doing. So you could go in on the last deal and you just keep saving the rate of return, and that drops you as far as your ITV there. So I don't know, Mike, what's the cap rate on this? So if somebody wants to do it very quickly, we've got, we would go $59.50 times 12. So, Michael, put Mike on the phone there, and let's get Mike to run through the cap rate for us, or we'll run through it. Okay.
Okay, Mike, you're unmuted.
Okay, Mike, let's run through the cap rate. You got your calculator?
Yep. I kind of already did it.
Okay, so good. So based on what we've got there, so what is that? If we've got 71.4 per year in income, and then we know what the taxes and the insurance are, and if we were to, you know, add in a factor for vacancy and a factor for, what would the cap rate be?
I calculate it to be around 9%, and I kind of group all the I do an expense ratio. It accounts for vacancies, maintenance fees, all the timber items, insurance, maintenance, and with that kind of rental income and an expense rate of about 40%, the cap rate's around 9%. But I'm not sure that that's really relevant here, but it does kind of give you a sense of performance of the property. If a 9% cap rate in that area is too high or too low, well, then that just means something is wrong. Either expenses are too high, or the rent's too low, or the rent's too high. And
that's
that
right.
Kind of helps answer the viability of this ongoing concern as a property.
Right, and you know, when you're looking at, you know, Californians look at this a little bit differently, and they would consider a 7-8 cap on anything to be great.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point. Actually, I was thinking when you said California, I was like, oh wait, California, from what I understand, is closer to 3-5%. Right.
Yeah, if they're up at 7-8, and even with this being, you know, not something that would be in San Diego or Anaheim, yeah, or, you know, something like that, but in a little different area, not a bad area, just a little different area. Wow, I mean, that's a great rate of return. The fact that the term is shorter, now they could have gone from 7 years to 10 years, and that would have probably, you know, eased some of the negative income on this. But if this borrower is managing this himself and so on, you know, he may be taking $200 or $300 a month out of his pocket, and he feels like, okay, so, you know, I'll have this thing paid for, and I'll have a, you know, $6,000+, well, you know, probably a $5,000+ income on this per month after this thing is paid off. Then that would be the end goal as they went through this.
Yeah, with 7 units, it's most likely that he is managing the units himself.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I know, they're smaller units. I haven't. I've seen one picture, and I'm looking for some more pictures. But yeah, that's kind of what this is. And I think that most would agree, and probably, and I think you probably would too, that the partial, based on this right now, would be the play. See what happens over the next couple of years, and go from there. And we would also have to look and say, okay, what is, you know, are these artificially low? Could these rent for, you know, $950 a month? And if they rent for $950 a month, then you've got $700 more a month in rent. That, well, wouldn't be that much. If you had 7 units times 100, you'd be $700 more a month. So even if it was $50 more a month, you're looking at $350 more a month. So that kind of breaks it down as we go through that process. So, yeah, very good. Any other questions on that? Very good. So, great. So you were just in Dallas, or are you still in Dallas, Michael?
No, I got back last night, like 2 in the morning.
Titanium event this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I'm sure that was a blast.
Yes, it was really nice. We have a great group. It's just amazing to spend all that time with the Colonial Funding Group folks, the Note School folks. They're all there the whole time, and you see them in their offices, and you get to know them better. And they fed us very well. They gave us breakfast and lunch, and they had a little wine and cheese party on Tuesday. And it's just an amazing event. I highly recommend that all Titaniums work to get there. It's worth the time, effort, and expense to spend time with those guys, with you guys there.
I know Dwayne, and I think Dwayne and Ben may be going out to the next one they're having, and then I want to get to one out there first part of next year. So I know you guys.
We had Zarina join us. Zarina flew in, so that was a good surprise.
She told me that her arms were really tired, you know, when she
flew all the way.
And as Arena were on the call, I would say, yeah, I better just really wore her broom out getting there. That was bad. Oh, my God. So, you know, I have to pick on somebody else because I can't say those things to my wife, right? So, anyway.
Nice.
All right. She's very good.
Yeah,
glad to hear from you, and very good. So unless there are other questions, I'm going to take the screen back over. And if you want this quoter, just email me, joe@notetool.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you after the call. So you have it back now, Sarah?
I do. I have it back.
As well, do you want to kind of run through those, Sarah, or I'll be glad to do it, but I'd be happy to have you do it as well. So.
Sure, I'll take the first two and you can take the last one.
Okay,
so yesterday you guys probably all got invites for the next series of calls, the September-October calls, and don't know if you noticed, and we have talked about it tentatively on previous calls, but we are officially making the change for Wednesday and Thursday. And the reason behind it is right now we have non-performing calls back-to-back, Tuesday and Wednesday. So if you get a question, say, Wednesday night, after the call on Wednesday, you have to wait all the way until the following Tuesday to get it answered. So based on feedback from students, we decided to go performing Monday, non-performing Wednesday, non-performing Thursday. So the times are going to stay the same, so meaning that, like today's call, the Thursday call at noon, performing, will switch to Wednesday at noon. It'll still be performing. The Wednesday non-performing call that's currently at 3 o'clock is going to be switching to Thursday at 3 o'clock. So I know I was a little confused at first.
Those are all central time, right?
Central time, yep, central time. You know, we obviously know it's not going to be perfect for everyone, but they still all will be recorded, will be up on the website, you know, within a few hours after the call. Takes a little time to get everything converted and posted, but that is the scoop for that. And I see...
Yeah, and again, guys, so the Monday and Tuesday calls are not being affected at all. The Monday performing call will still be at 8 Central. The Tuesday non-performing call will still be at, 4 Central? 4 Central. The Wednesday call that Kevin is doing now on non-performing will be Thursday at 4 Central.
Thursday at 3.
At 3. And then our call, our Thursday call will be on Wednesday, and it will be from 12 to 1 Central as well.
And Sandy has her hand raised. Sandy, I unmuted you, but you're self-muted. If you can get yourself unmuted, otherwise you can type in your question. All right, we will...
Yep, we'll give her a chance to do
back
that.
You.
Yep.
Okay, while we're waiting on that quick then, the September... offering of Notes Direct is going to be altered a little bit due to Labor Day. So it'll come out for the Titaniums on September 8th at 1 o'clock, and then it will be released to the rest of the students the following Tuesday, September 13th, also around 1 o'clock. So, yeah, Sandy, you're still muted, so if you want to type in your question, we'd be happy to answer it for you. And then the last... Oh, Martha's Mastermind, so... don't know if it still has availability or not, but it's coming up September 15th through the 18th. So, women, if you're interested in that, you can get signed up. And then, Joe, yeah, I'll let you...
You put on a wig and go, okay, Dave? Just, you know.
I'll let you cover Note Expo.
Yeah, so... Note Expo is in that whole week of events. If you haven't registered for that... you certainly don't want to miss it this year. It's going to be bigger and better than, you know, as it's been getting bigger and better. There's going to be some great new thing coming down the pike there that will be announced as far as availability of notes. There's the Titanium event is Wednesday, then the Appreciation event is Thursday. Which is, you know, just a great event, and then Friday and Saturday will be the Note Expo and so on. So won't be able to make it. I'm out in Denver doing a big group there, so won't see you guys again. Sorry. For some of you, that's a good thing, though, I'm sure, but just kidding. But anyway, somebody's got to pay the bills, guys. So
there was a quick question on the time zones. I get messed up as to what's standard time, what's daylight time. I don't really know. If you accept those invitations and add them to your calendar, it adjusts to your local time zone. So everything we talk about is in central time, whether we're currently on daylight time or standard time. I don't really know.
It will adjust when you get when you log that in, and I do the same thing because Sarah and I are both Eastern time, so yeah. So
I'm actually on Central.
What's that?
I'm on Central.
You are?
Up here in the land of cheese.
Yeah, Appleton. Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, I didn't know you knew that. I thought, yeah, anyway. All right. So you guys are, you know, for those of you that haven't made it to the appreciation event, you guys are going to have a total blast at the dinner and the charity auction. Guys, it is a blast for those of you that know David Finolio. David is he's always in full bloom, and when that auction is going on for the Child Welfare Board there, it is always amazing. A couple of years ago when I was there, Dwayne Gibbs and Ryan Parsons got into a bidding war for Edwards was auctioning off a pair of ballet shoes that she used in the Nutcracker, I think, the year before, whatever. But anyway, it was hilarious as it got up a lot higher. Ryan was kind of like, oh, I'm done, and Dwayne... So it's a lot of fun, and you guys will. It'll be a whole. I will miss not being there for sure. So guys, that is it. We will. The calls will be as they are next week normally, and then the week that next week. So Monday week, not this coming Monday, but Monday week. There will not be a call. Correct, Sarah, for Labor Day.
Correct, yes.
We will resume with the schedule on Tuesday, and the change doesn't take place as far as the times from Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Wednesday, until October 1st. Is that correct? Wednesday, October 1st? No, Wednesday, October 5th.
yes, and actually the invite that went out, the September times are still the same, but if you scroll down and look at October, they change.
Change. That's right.
So if you don't look all the way through the invite at every single instance, it'll look like it hasn't changed, but it has in October.
So we'll see how well people are listening, Sarah.
You'll find out.
Yeah. So Wednesday, October the 5th is my birthday. I'm not going to tell anyone how old I'm going to be, but 40, I'm just going now by celebrating. I'm just celebrating years of my 49th birthday. So I'm not going to say how many. Yeah, like Reagan used to do that. He said, "This is the 10th anniversary of my 70th birthday," or whatever it was. So anyway, so I'll see how many of you remember that it's my birthday. So, all right, guys, we appreciate it. Sarah, thank you so much. Great job. Thank you guys for participating. And don't forget to get that content in. Guys, this Thursday call is for you. So, you know, we're going to, you know, it's a safe zone for you. So you can certainly ask anything that you need to ask pertaining to performing notes. We're not going to do any marriage counseling, right, Sarah, and anything like that. But any other questions as far as notes go is fair game. All right.
Hey,
thanks.
I just admitted I don't know the time zones, so feel free to ask your questions.
Right, exactly. All right. Thanks so much. We will, and Sarah, I'll send you that email with those two things on it. And thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.